This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to another episode of The Life of Aisha, Mother of the Believers, with me, Fatima Barakatullah. In the last episode, we were continuing the story of the slander of Aisha. Aisha radiallahu anha had, for the first time, heard about the slander and even heard that some of the Muslims were spreading that rumor, right? Although the hypocrites were the ones who'd started the rumor, some Muslims were also spreading that rumor. And she had asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam if she could go to her parents' house, because she wanted to consult them and she wanted to verify and make sure that what she'd heard about the slander was actually taking place. So she went and she says, "I asked my mother, 'Oh mother, what are the people talking about?' And she said, 'Oh my daughter, don't worry.'" So she's trying to calm Aisha radhiyallahu anha. "For scarcely is there a charming woman who is loved by her husband and whose husband has other wives besides herself, that they, the other women, try to find faults with her." So Aisha radhiyallahu anha's mother, she was thinking maybe out of jealousy or something like this, you know, some of the other wives or something had started this rumor. Of course, that was not true at all. The wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were not part of this rumor spreading at all. It was, of course, the hypocrites and some of the Muslims who fell into this, the spreading of the rumor. So Aisha radhiyallahu anha hears about this now from the person who loves her the most, right? Her mother. And so this makes her heart sink. She says, "Subhanallah, are the people really talking in this way?" And we see from this again her innocence. Her reaction shows us, you know, it's the reaction of an innocent person, of a person who couldn't even imagine or think of something like this, let alone do something like this. We also see that, you know, her parents, and in our lives as well, people who wish us well, they will always try to make us feel stronger. They'll always try to make us feel calm and to try to overcome challenges. And that's what Aisha radhiyallahu anha's mother, Umm Ruman, was trying to do. Aisha radhiyallahu anha continues and she says that she could not stop weeping all night. She couldn't stop weeping and neither could she sleep. And then in the morning, she said, "I kept on weeping." Again, this is the reaction of an innocent person. A Muslim's honor is so precious to a Muslim that, subhanAllah, if anything tries to taint it, if anything touches a Muslim's reputation and sense of integrity, it upsets a Muslim more than some kind of physical injury. Aisha radhiyallahu anha continues, "When the divine inspiration was delayed, Allah's messenger called Ali bin Abi Talib." So the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called Ali bin Abi Talib and Usama bin Zayd to ask and consult them. Here we see that the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam hasn't received any revelation, and so he is confused as to what he should do. And what he does in that circumstance is call on two people who he loves and trusts, two people from his own family, or who he considers to be his own family. And those are Ali bin Abi Talib and Usama bin Zayd. Usama bin Zayd is, of course, the son of Zayd bin Haritha, who was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's adopted son, right? Prior to adoption not being something that the Muslims were allowed to do, Zayd had been the Prophet's adopted son, and Usama was then like a grandson to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And at this time, he would have been a teenager. Ali was also like a son or a younger brother to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and had grown up in his household. So he thought to consult them. Aisha tells us that Usama bin Zayd told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about that, of course, Aisha radhiyallahu anha was innocent. He said about her, "O Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she is your wife and we do not know anything except good about her." Ali bin Abi Talib radhiyallahu anhu said, "O Allah's Messenger, Allah does not put you in difficulty and there are plenty of women other than her. Yet, why don't you ask the maid servant who will tell you the truth?" So here, two people are giving the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam two different perspectives. One is saying, look, we know Aisha radhiyallahu anha. We know her and we know everything about her and we know that she would not do something like this. And Ali bin Abi Talib, on the other hand, he's just suggesting to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that if this situation is causing you a lot of angst, then, you know, there are other women you could marry. You don't have to stay married to Aisha radhiyallahu anha. And of course, he's just giving the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a different perspective. At the same time, Ali bin Abi Talib radhiyallahu anhu gives the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam an excellent way of verifying, you know, if anything untoward was going on. He says, why don't you ask Aisha radhiyallahu anha's maidservant, Barira, because of course the maidservant, she knows the goings on of the household. She knows who comes to the house and who exits and, you know, etc., etc. So she will tell you the truth. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called Barira, Aisha radhiyallahu anha's maidservant, and he said to her, "Oh Barira, did you ever see anything which aroused your suspicion?" So here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's not that he doubts Aisha radhiyallahu anha, but before he goes out in public and makes a statement, he wants to make sure that he's, you know, checked with all the possible people who could verify Aisha radhiyallahu anha's character, right? So that he has extra kind of support, extra proof. So he says to Barira, "Did you ever see anything which aroused your suspicion?" And Barira says to him, and you know, now she's like in the position of a witness, so she has to think hard if she can think of anything that ever made her think about Aisha radhiyallahu anha or see anything negative in Aisha radhiyallahu anha, right? So she says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "By him who has sent you with the truth, I have never seen anything in her, in Aisha, which I would conceal, except that she is a young girl and sometimes she falls asleep, leaving the dough," right, the dough that she's kneading, "leading the dough uncovered, so goats come in and they eat it." Subhanallah. So Barira, she says, "I can't think of any fault with Aisha radhiyallahu anha, except," and it seems like this happens to be something like a gripe that Barira has with Aisha radhiyallahu anha, that, you know, when she's kneading dough and it's the dough of the family, meaning that's the dough that they're going to be eating that day, making bread out of and eating, she sometimes, you know, being a young lady, she falls asleep. And so the goat wanders into the house and eats the dough. Subhanallah. That's the only thing she could think of that was negative, if you can call that negative, about our mother Aisha radhiyallahu anha. Subhanallah. Again, it emphasizes, doesn't it, how young she was, how innocent she was, and you know, how something like this was something that was impossible and something that she would never ever dream of going near. So on that day, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam got up on the pulpit and he complained about Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul in front of the companions. And this is Aisha narrating. And she says, he said, "O Muslims, who will relieve me from that man who has hurt me with his evil statement about my family? By Allah, I know nothing except good about my family, about my wife. And they have blamed a man about whom I know nothing except good." So here the Prophet ﷺ is referring to Safwan bin Mu'attal. He's saying, you know, this is a pious young man. And my wife is a good lady. There's nothing negative that I know about her. And the Prophet ﷺ says, and he, Safwan, used never to enter my home except with me. So if say the Prophet ﷺ was having a dinner or something like this, then only then would Safwan enter his home, and only with the Prophet ﷺ. So after the break, we're going to see how the tensions began to rise and the Aus and the Khazraj tribe began to argue and have problems between them because of this incident. Join me after the break. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back. So before the break, we said that the Prophet ﷺ got onto the pulpit, onto the minbar, and he had made a speech. He told the people that, you know, that this slander was completely wrong, and that this man, Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, the head of the munafiqun, the hypocrites, he had hurt the Prophet ﷺ with regards to his daughter Aisha. Sorry, with regards to his wife Aisha, and with regards to his companion Safwan bin Mu'attal, who he knew was a pious man. Now, what you have to know is that Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul was from the Khazraj tribe. In Medina, there were two major tribes, the Aus tribe and the Khazraj tribe. Abdullah bin Ubay, the head of the hypocrites, was from the Khazraj tribe. In the past, Aus and Khazraj had been at war with one another. But of course, when the Prophet ﷺ came to Medina, which was previously called Yathrib, he had made peace between the Aus and Khazraj tribe. And in fact, you know, he had erased that tribalism to some extent. And he had created, of course, the bonds of a brotherhood between the Aus and Khazraj as Muslims, right? And so they were known as the Ansar. However, of course, that was very recent. And so Sa'ad bin Mu'adh, who was one of the leaders of the Aus tribe, when he heard the Prophet ﷺ saying how this man, Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, had hurt him, hurt the Messenger of Allah ﷺ with what he had done, he got up and he said, "O Allah's Messenger, I will relieve you of him. If he is from the tribe of Al-Aus," so he's saying, "I will relieve you of this man who has caused you hurt. If this man is from the tribe of Al-Aus, then I will chop his head off. And if he is from our brothers," meaning the Khazraj, "then you command us and we will fulfill your order." SubhanAllah. And on that, a man, or one of the leaders of the Khazraj tribe, got up. And this was Sa'ad bin Ubadah, the chief of the Khazraj tribe. And, you know, subhanAllah, because of this incident, what happened was that suddenly those feelings of tribalism rose to the surface, right? And Sa'ad bin Ubadah from the Khazraj tribe said, "By Allah, you have not told the truth, or you have told a lie. You shall not and cannot kill him. If he belonged to your people, you would not wish him to be killed." SubhanAllah. On that, Usayd bin Hudayr, who was the cousin of Sa'ad bin Mu'adh, got up and said to Sa'ad bin Ubadah, "By Allah, you are a liar. We will surely kill him, and you are a hypocrite. defending and arguing on behalf of the hypocrites. On this, the two tribes of Al-Aws and Al-Khazraj got so kind of excited that they were about to fight. While Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was standing on the minbar. And Aisha radhiyallahu anha says, Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, kept on calming them down till they became silent. And so did he. So subhanAllah, on top of the harm and the hurt that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is feeling, this incident started to ignite negative feelings between Al-Aws and Al-Khazraj, right? Because Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul was from the Khazraj tribe. Now, Aisha radiallahu anha continues, "All that day I kept on weeping with my tears never ceasing, and I could not sleep. In the morning, my parents were with me, and I wept for two nights and a day with my tears continuously flowing. And I couldn't sleep, and I thought that my liver would burst from weeping." She says, "So while my parents were sitting with me and I was weeping, an Ansari woman, a woman from the Ansar, asked to enter, and I allowed her to come in. And she came in, she sat down, and she started to weep with me." SubhanAllah. You can see from this that everyone is speechless, you know. Aisha radiallahu anha doesn't know what to say except cry. Abu Bakr is silent. Umm Ruman, her mother, is silent. And one of her sisters in Islam, right, from the Ansar, she comes, she asks, she's heard about this, you know, this calamity that's going on. And she just wants to be with Aisha radiallahu anha. She just wants to show sympathy and empathy with our mother Aisha. And, you know, one of the best ways to do that sometimes is not with our words, but by just being with somebody. And so she just wants to sit there with Aisha radiallahu anha. And she is responding in this with the same emotion that Aisha radiallahu anha had, which was to weep. And Aisha radiallahu anha says, "While we were in this state, Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, came." So this, he's coming now to Abu Bakr's home, right? "He greeted us and sat down. And she said that he had not sat down with me since the day of the slander. A month had elapsed." And she says that no divine revelation had come to him about my case. So can you imagine? For a whole month there was silence when it came to revelation. And of course the Prophet ﷺ couldn't just demand revelation. You know, it's something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him or sent to him whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted. So they were having to be very, very patient. An entire month of rumors being spread in the most malicious way about our mother Aisha. And she says that Allah's Messenger recited the tashahud, and then he said, "Amma ba'd, O Aisha, I have been informed such and such about you. If you are innocent, then don't worry, Allah will soon reveal your innocence. And if you have committed a mistake, then repent to Allah and ask Him for forgiveness. For when a slave confesses his sins and asks Allah for forgiveness, Allah accepts his repentance." SubhanAllah. You know, this is a very, very amazing thing that the Prophet ﷺ is doing. And as you can see, the greatest concern of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was never about, you know, revenge or getting something for himself, or, you know, getting his own back or fixing his own feelings about something. No, his greatest concern was always to do the thing that would benefit the believers the most. And so even in this situation, he wants what's best for Aisha. And he's saying to her, look, even if you did commit a mistake, there's forgiveness for you. there's hope for you. And of course, Aisha radiallahu anha would not have liked even the suggestion that she might have made that mistake. So she says, when Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam finished his speech, my tears ceased flowing completely, and I no longer felt a single drop flowing from my eyes. And she says, I said to my father, reply to Allah's Messenger on my behalf concerning what he has said. And Abu Bakr said, by Allah, I do not know what to say to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then Aisha turns to her mother and she says, my mother, reply to Allah's Messenger on my behalf concerning what he has said. So in other words, she wants him to defend her. And her mother says, by Allah, I do not know what to say to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. SubhanAllah. So you see, even her own parents are speechless. They don't know how they're meant to respond to this, what they're meant to do, except wait for the revelation to come, right? And yet Aisha radiallahu anha is turning to them. And in this moment, you can really feel how alone our mother Aisha radiallahu anha was. You know, her husband, her father, her mother, her co-wives, the other Muslims, nobody could really help her in this situation. Nobody could help her in this situation. And she must have felt that the only person, the only being that she could turn to was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know, there are times in our own lives that we will experience this. If we are somebody who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, there will be times when we will feel completely alone. There'll be times when we feel that our spouse, our parents, our siblings, our family, our best friends, nobody can help us. And we are forced to only turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is a blessing. That's actually a blessing. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala drawing us closer to Him. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was doing in this situation. Aisha says, in spite of the fact that I was a young girl and I had very little knowledge of the Quran, I said, by Allah, no doubt, I know that you have heard this slanderous speech to such an extent, you've heard it so many times that it has been implanted into your minds and you have taken it as the truth. Now, if I say that I'm innocent, you will not believe me. And if I confess to you about it, and Allah knows that I am innocent, you will believe me. By Allah, I find no similitude for me, except for me and you, except that of Abu Yusuf, the father of Yusuf. She means Ya'qub alayhi salam. When he said, Fasabrun Jamil, patience is the most fitting for me. Wallahu al-musta'anu ala ma tasifun, that and Allah alone is the one who can help in this situation. So, brothers and sisters, we've come to the end of this episode. In the next episode, we will look at what happened at the end of this incident and after the incident of the slander of Aisha radiallahu anha. Jazakumullahu khairan. Until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik.